Let me speak to Eamon Malley, who's available to speak to us, political commentator. Eamon, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Eamon, this issue about Arlene Foster, I put this to Mark McFadden, it would have been a bigger story if she decided not to go.
Yes, but unfortunately, the way that this whole thing has been handled by the Democratic Unionist Party, I think, has militated against it, because there's been this dithering and uncertainty and refusal to say whether she was going right up until the last moment. And I think this is a fault line in the DUP thinking currently. And as a result of that, she continued on Twitter and social media all day yesterday to be in the firing line. But I think the majority of the people will be very relieved and will find it gracious that she's going.
Obviously, a decision's been made somewhere along the line to keep the funeral more statesmanlike than Republican.
Oh, I think that's the tone, that's the sentiment, that's how it's been handled. And I suspect those would have been the directions of Martin McGuinness, because to do otherwise would be to betray, I suspect, that which he was trying to do to reach out to the broader community, the Protestant Unionist community. And it's evident he had unbridled support from within sections of that community. When we listen to the Presbyterian minister from his own constituency there in Derry, when we listen to Harold Good, that is not fake friendship. There's a depth and a profundity attaching to the relationships of people like Harold Good and those other clergymen from the Protestant Unionist community who have been speaking about Martin McGuinness demanding you. So I think it's gracious of Arlene to go. I've been listening to Jim Allister and others, very critical of her. But at the end of the day, she's taking the right decision. And just to point back historically, when the leadership of Republicanism, Frank, went to David Irvine's funeral in East Belfast, were they diminished? Not at all. Au contraire. Au contraire. They were edified and praised for going to David Irvine's funeral. And David Irvine, everybody knows, he came from another background, a loyalist background, affiliated with the UVF. And so Arlene will not be diminished at all. In fact, her reputation will be enhanced.
However, just on that, when you had the leader of the Republican movement going to the funeral of a former leader of the loyalist movements, it was people who were associated with terrorism going to the funeral of people or a person previously associated with terrorism. Arlene Foster is making a bigger step, surely, because she was never associated with terrorism.
Oh, no, I accept that. And in fact, we have to be mindful. We have to be mindful of what was visited upon Arlene Foster's family. And you, Frank, I suppose, and I personally did not have terror visited on my family. And therefore, it is not always accurate for us to opine on these things. You have to be in the shoes of people like Arlene Foster. But she is the leader of the Democratic Unionist Party. She has been the joint First Minister of Northern Ireland for considerable time now. She has a standing. There's a level of expectation. She assumed that office. She must speak for you, for me, and for everybody else in Northern Ireland. That's what the office of First Minister means. And that's what has to grow, I think, politically in Northern Ireland, that awareness. And we must all view the First Minister of Northern Ireland as our First Minister, just as the people view Theresa May as their Prime Minister.
There's as many people saying Tony Blair is going to attend as are saying Tony Blair isn't going to attend, depending on which news agency you happen to be following. What's your take on it?
I simply don't know. I don't mind my misleading you. The walls or the tended to be something of a switch in tone after the attack on the Westminster estate in terms of Tony Blair's coming. I detected a little shift in emphasis. So at this stage, I simply do not know. But it appears that a lot of dignitaries will be there.
It will be a very big funeral, and it will be a poignant time for, as Mark McFadden described, the Bogsiders.
Well, the Bogside was his soul. That was what they call the cuarencia in the bull ring, where the bullfighter feels absolutely secure, safe. There's a certain point in the bull ring. Well, when Martin McGuinness was there, that was his locus. That's where he loved to be. He was a man, no matter where he was in the world, if he could possibly get home to sleep in his own bed, he wanted to be in his own bed. That was the sort of guy he was. And the manifestation of this was when he addressed the people outside his home and said he wouldn't be standing again to represent the people. He was heartbroken. He was clearly heartbroken. And he said, "I've shaken the hands of queens and kings and presidents, but this is home." And that's the sort of guy he was. Everybody who knew him. And what is remarkable is the utterance of the likes of Sir Nigel Hamilton, the former head of the civil service, who was the permanent secretary of the Department of Education when Martin McGuinness took over. What he said publicly this week, he said how he watched him grow into a statesman. And Sir Malcolm McKibben, very, very unusual for the head of the civil service to issue a personal statement along the lines of Malcolm McKibben. But I'm not surprised, because Martin McGuinness was very sympathetic during the interviews to the appointment of Malcolm McKibben. He saw in him something, a man with whom he could work. And that's what's coming through now from right across the board at Parliament buildings, the civil servants and the people who work to Martin McGuinness. There's a universal acceptance of his grace and his courtesy to all members of staff.
And in the meantime, Eamon, the leader of Sinn Féin, Gerry Adams, has been making some political points. No changing of deadlines, and the pressure is on locally here for an executive to be formed. We had the tragedy at Westminster yesterday. Theresa May and those who are running the British government have, many would say, much bigger fish now to fry than Northern Ireland.
Well, I think that is true. But I also think that Theresa May, I think she's rather all over the place for a whole lot of different reasons. And I'm not sure that she's totally in control of the situation. I listened to her statement last night. I didn't find it. I was trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody in the Shires or somebody in Newcastle listening to Theresa May as their Prime Minister in a crisis. It wasn't very, very cogent or convincing the way she spoke. And when I think back on Tony Blair at the time that Diana died, and the way he handled that, and the elan and aplomb and style with which he handled that situation, one didn't have that sense of confidence in the way that Theresa May articulated the crisis in which Parliament found itself last night, arising out of that awful attack on the Westminster estate. And then Northern Ireland, I think it's well down the list. Just a tiny little thing. When she made reference to the passing and the contribution of Martin McGuinness yesterday, she instantly went into the affairs of the day, what she had to do. It was gracefulness. There was no pause. There was no time to reflect on the passing of Martin McGuinness in the House. It was gracefulness. It was straight on to, "And today I will be doing such and such." She just lacks that common touch.
Okay, Eamon, thank you very much indeed. Political commentator, longstanding Eamon Malley.